Joseph M. Ashley, a doctor of rehabilitation and nationally recognized industry leader who is blind, brings a personal commitment and over 30 years of leadership in developing services and creating opportunities for individuals with disabilities to support their choice to live, work, and thrive in their communities.
Hello, and welcome to The Blind Experience with Dr. Joe Ashley. Are you an individual who is blind or has low vision and you're curious about what services, new information, activities, or other types of services might be available to improve your life experience? Or are you an individual who has a family member or a friend who is blind or has low vision and you're curious about what might be out there to help their life experience? With this new podcast series, we hope to create an opportunity for you to learn more about these services, resources, and whatever might be available to improve the blind experience. To accomplish this, we'll be discussing and examining resources, services, and issues related to the blind experience with individuals who are experts in the field and many of whom are blind or have low vision themselves. So whether you're an individual who is blind and having some issues or just curious, or an individual who is going through a diagnosis at this time, or dealing with the issues of a degenerative eye disease, or otherwise just curious about the blind experience, hopefully you will find something in these discussions that will benefit you. I'll be bringing my perspective as an individual who was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa while in college and lost vision gradually until the age of 40, where I became totally blind. The podcast will use this personal frame of reference to examine the blind experience, providing information that will enhance the ability of individuals who are blind and vision impaired to live, work, and thrive in their communities. So, let's get started. Welcome to today's episode of The Blind Experience with Dr. Joe Ashley. Today, we are going to have a discussion with Dr. Peggy Fields. She's the Rehabilitation Technology Program Director for the Virginia Department for the Blind and Vision Impaired. Peggy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Joe. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you today. Peggy, you and I have worked together for a number of years, I'll just say.
Quite a few, yes.
Quite a few. And it's been an interesting discussion from time to time about the various technologies that are out there. And you do bring a very complete, as what I'll call it, perspective, because you've been an instructor around assistive technology. You've done the evaluations to match people to the technology that would help them meet their goals. And you've done research on assistive technology. So I think you do have a unique perspective, and I'm excited to explore that. So could you give us some of your thoughts on what assistive technology has done the most to improve employment opportunities for individuals who are blind and vision impaired?
Wow, that's a big question. You're right. I have been with technology, computer technology, assistive technology since the late 80s. And so that's a pretty full-time span of well over 30 years. And I've seen it from no technology to where we are now. So I kind of have to wrap my brain and go back a little bit and think about my experiences and how I can best answer your questions. So when I first walked into the Virginia Rehab Center for the Blind as a teacher and a communications instructor, I walked into a room full of IBM Selectric typewriters. They had no speech. They had nothing. They were your basic typewriter. And that evolved over all of those years to where we are now in technology and all the wonderful, you know, stuff that's out there right now. But if I had to look back and say, what were the two things or two of the things that most impacted people's opportunity for employment, I'd have to say the ability to access print materials, paper print materials. And the I think the ability to read information like from electronically. Let me go back a little bit on that ability to access print materials. back in the day in the 80s and 90s, everything was pretty much on paper, you know, in businesses when you went out.
The entire business scene was wrapped around paper.
Sure. People were given memos on their desk. There were shelves on the wall. They had different bulletins and things like that. And even though now more and more is becoming electronic, for that 20, 25-year period in there, it was pretty much paper. And when an individual who had no vision or very little vision couldn't read all this information on paper, we basically got, I'm sorry, it's just not going to work. It's not going to fit. And that was very, very discouraging. It was about accessing paper. Now, it's important still to be able to read paper information. I mean, there's still paper stuff out there, stuff that might be distributed like at a meeting or...
Now, if you get to a meeting, they hand out an agenda and they haven't sent it out in advance. You've got to figure out how to read it or understand it.
Or worse yet, they hand you a paper and you have to run back to your desk where there's a speech program on your computer so you can try to read it.
Oh, no.
You know, so it was important. It's still important to read printed materials.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, I mean, there are handwriting recognition apps out there now, like, you know, Microsoft OneNote, Pen to Print. There's a lot of them out there that actually read handwriting. If you only knew how many jobs we could not pursue because, oh, by the way, you have to input this information and the people filled out these cards by hand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that job was gone. And so the ability to access print was really, really important. And then as we moved on and we got to computers, it was very, very important because so much was being done through the internet. And that, when there wasn't speech, that was rough.
Yeah.
But when we were able to get speech so that even in its primitive form, they could hear what's on the computer, that was a game changer too.
Mm-hmm.
So I bet there's other stuff out there that I could say, oh yeah, well too, attitude change, legislation change. I mean, there were a variety of things. But as the instructor and as the person to train people for jobs and as a person who went out and evaluated jobs, I can't tell you how many times I had to walk away because a print element came in and there was nothing.
There was no way around the print.
Try another way. Right. There was just no way to deal with it. So those were kind of big, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, my personal experience was with the retinitis pigmentosa, my vision went down over time. So I did the big barrel magnifying glasses. I tried the CCT, the closed circuit televisions, to do some of the reading of that print material, but those weren't exactly, in my day, portable. As you said, you had to go back to the office to try and read that. And I found those things a challenge. So when they started to, I guess it was the Zoom text, one of the materials started enhancing the size of fonts. I'm sure that helped open up some opportunities.
Oh, I do. Yes, I can remember Zoom text for DOS because you have to remember everything when it first came out was DOS-based.
DOS-based, okay.
Uh-huh, and the speech programs. Now there's a couple that are sort of the major players on the market. Actually, there's only about one or two that are major players on the market at this moment. But back in the day, which I always like to use that phrase, I don't know why, but back in the day, we had like five programs. I remember Arctic Vision. I remember Arctic Business Vision that we taught. I remember IBM Screen Reader. I remember JAWS for DOS. I remember the Vert Systems. I remember Vocalize.
Vocalize.
New one became Windowize, but that was Vocalize by GW Micro. And those were all out there and fighting for predominance. And there eventually was a last man standing when all was said and done. But when everything, and that was a big thing back then too, because once we got the speech, we were happy in the DOS world.
Yes.
But then this phenomena called Windows appeared.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as somebody said we use Windows, we were out of luck because all the speech was centered in a DOS environment.
And
until, there until we started creeping into the Windows environment. And then once we did that, we were climbing the ladder towards where we are right now.
Yeah.
But that DOS Windows was a big gulf to cross over, because the world was going to Windows and the AT world was kind of firmly stuck in DOS.
Yeah. I tried the Arctic Business Vision, or what I think that's what it was called, and was learning that when it finally just seemed not to have some of the support, and finally moved over to the JOS for DOS, and then it, as you said, you get stuck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We could not, advance over. And the funny thing with a lot of these programs, it was how they operated that determined whether or not they survived. One of the best programs that I ever worked with, actually, and it did not survive, was the IBM Screen Reader. And the reason that was different was because it had a separate keypad that attached to the computer. It was very concrete. When you had that number pad in your hands and, you had your up arrow, your down arrow, your left, your right, you didn't have to remember a lot of commands.
Yeah.
That was real good.
Yeah.
For people who might not have had the best memory, or people that had other issues other than blindness, maybe there was some type of cognitive issue, head injury or whatever. But despite that, IBM did not keep up the support of that. But the Freedom Scientific people did. They surged on with JAWS. And they're pretty powerful at this current time.
Well, I think the thing that finding a way to keep up with the changes in technology and keep the assistive technology relevant is just a huge factor in people being successful both in the workplace and just in general being able to keep up with the daily flow of information they may want to access.
One thing you have to remember, Joe, like I said, I have the very unique perspective and that I've stayed in this field long enough that I know and remember what it was like for a student to type on a manual typewriter. All
can't
the
even
way.
Imagine that.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me backtrack for 30-second story on that.
Sure.
I taught the typing first because there weren't any computers. And then the typing class became the keyboarding, and the keyboarding became the computers, and the rest is history. But, a person who was blind could not see what they were typing. Those IBM Selectric typewriters did not have any speech. They were just an electric typewriter. A person typing, so let's say somebody wanted to be an administrative assistant or secretary or a transcription typist, which was very popular back then, they would have to sort of intuitively know when they made a typo because they couldn't look down and say, I hit a D instead of an F. They had to know. They had to catch it as soon as they made it so they could hit the backspace. Now, the earlier typewriters, when you hit the backspace, that got you back a space. But then you had to put this correction tape in there, re-hit the mistake so that it whited out over the mistake. Now, the correction tape was tricky because they had to feel with their thumb and forefinger which side had the chalk on and which side didn't, and put that against the paper. You want to talk about superhuman heroes here.
Yeah.
They put it in, they retyped the mistake, they typed the correct letter, and then they moved on. And they were expected to do a business letter in my class error-free, not one mistake. Now, who, visually or not, ever types anything where they don't make one mistake?
Yeah.
It was torture. It was very, very difficult.
Yeah, and so sometimes the expectations of the individual with disabilities is a little higher than
I think it's a lot higher. Sometimes.
Their sighted counterparts, because of that type of, if you don't have the memory or that feel, you're not going to know that. I can sometimes, when I'm keying now, tell when I've made a mistake, but other times, not so much.
And you have to make sure you catch it right away in order to go back. So when the word processing came out and we had the speech that echoed the keystrokes, well, at least you knew for sure you hit a typo. You backspaced it, read it as you backspaced, and then you could correct it. But, you know, the thing that was so sad for me as an instructor is we worked so hard with those people, and they were good. They were really, really good. And I could not guarantee that they could turn out an errorless two-page business letter. And because I couldn't, or they would go on an interview and they couldn't promise that, all of that other talent they had was for naught. Because, well, we have to make sure that this always comes out perfect. And it was very, very frustrating.
So part of the issue was once the ability to go back and correct that or hear the mistake as you made it came out, it really did improve employment opportunities, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That obstacle was now gone. Okay. And all the other skills and talents that person possessed was able to be utilized in a job because they could turn out that perfect business letter or perfect memo. And it was just the way it was back then. And it makes you really appreciate technology when you have that perspective from the past and then you see where we are now.
So could you provide us a quick overview of maybe the types of technology that's out there that people can use? I'm thinking about the individual maybe who's coming a little later to the blindness experience and may not understand all the different options that are out there.
There are. In our computer lab that we have here, we sort of show equipment running from the very most basic, what we call sort of no-tech, all the way up to the more advanced. But one thing that I will mention right now, pretty much across the board, that people want, and you mentioned it, was portability. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants wires connected to anything anymore. Nobody wants big, heavy, bulky pieces of equipment. They want portability, and that's a really big deal right now. Mm-hmm. But if we look at the range of AT that's out there, I mean, you have your simple handheld magnifiers, and I tell you, Joe, if they work for you, fine, use them. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to get one piece of equipment that's going to do everything for them. They're going to have their little toolbox, and they use certain things for certain things and certain things for other things. But you got your handheld magnifiers. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can go to a low vision doctor and they can put bioptics on you so they can mount something. We call those optical aids, okay? They can mount something, lenses that will help somebody to do certain tasks. Then now they have a whole lot of these smaller video magnifiers, these really little handheld ones, three inches. Yeah, up to 7 inches. That you can throw them in your purse, read menus, you know, they do distances. You can kind of hold them up if you want to see a menu, you know, somewhere at a fast food restaurant, you want to catch something. So they range from 3-inch video magnifiers to 27-inch desktop magnifiers. Oh, wow. And those would be the ones we see a lot of our seniors using them. Where they just park it on a table or a desk, and it's easy to use. Slide something underneath it, a picture, a recipe, whatever. And they have a nice big monitor, 27-inch monitor, and they're able to see in a heartbeat. A lot of them now, some of these cameras will connect these small video magnifiers. You can connect to your television and see what you need to see on your television. Or a big monitor that you might have sitting on a little table in your room.
So some of the stuff will connect into things you may already have if you have a smart TV.
Exactly, exactly. So you just, you know, you have it next to that, and you want to, you know, go over some pictures or read a magazine article or something. You can do that. As a matter of fact, you know, desktop CCTVs can be a little pricey. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when people come in here, I'll say, you know, yeah, this is really nice. It's great. Fabulous. But if you take this little one, it has an HDMI cable, and you plug it in to a monitor you can get at Best Buy for $189. You're going to see the image on that big monitor, and you're saving money. And then when you pull the plug on it, you can close that little video magnifier up, put it in your purse, and go on out and go shopping.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to do, you know, try to be cost effective.
So there's some practical solutions that can also be as almost as good as the bigger solution.
Yeah, I do try to share those because we try to go least restrictive first. Mm-hmm. But if you're a student or something and you also need help with speech, a lot of these portable magnifiers, they usually come in 14-inch screen sizes. 14, 15 inch, they'll talk as well. You can put something underneath it. It'll mm-hmm. magnify it. It'll speak it. But one thing I do want to bring, and of course, right before I do this, there's all your Braille stuff. And you have your Braille display that you can Bluetooth that will show what's on your screen in Braille on your display. And you have your all-in-ones, which are your computers that are note takers and built in Braille. So those are on the high end.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, the Braille stuff is still with us and very functional for a lot of people. And I think some of the new technologies have really enhanced the ability to have it be portable.
Yeah, there's even one. Now, I will admit I haven't investigated this, haven't had a chance. But I know there are apps out there that will allow you to actually do Braille on the screen of your tablet.
Oh, wow.
I wish I had the name for you sometime. If you want to talk only about apps, I'll get the names for you. But okay. I know in discussion, I've seen those. But the last thing, as you know, that you know, I would have to mention, I would be remiss if I didn't, is the huge number of apps that are out there that can do for free or very, very inexpensively a lot of things. For someone who doesn't have vision, it can read a printed piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
It can assist you in your environment. Like you're somewhere and you hold up your phone, it will tell you where you are.
Yes.
Give you locations. Yeah. VizWiz are one. That's one that identifies objects. TapTap-C is another one. You actually take a picture of something and it tells you what it is. And then you have these things like the ones that have real life people responding, like Be My Eyes, where mm-hmm. it's a subscription type of thing. But you actually have, it's a service, and you can have someone be your eyes.
Those are the kind that you tap in, and then a volunteer on the Be My Eyes comes on, and you use your video phone and or the video feed on your phone, and it'll show them what it is you're trying to understand.
Exactly. What you're doing, a lot of people think it's just for GPS. Like, for example, somebody thinks they're lost or something,
yeah.
and they dial in or tap into Be My Eyes, and the volunteer comes on, and you hold up the phone, and they're going, okay, I see the street sign. It says Broad Street.
Okay,
and
you're in trouble.
Well, what can I say? But I also tell people, wait a minute, it's not just GPS, you're buying time.
Yeah.
Okay, you're buying a certain degree of time based on your subscription, and it's pretty doable. But if you don't care about GPS, you can do Be My Eyes and have them go through your mail. If you have trouble getting a reader and just saying, okay, what does this say? What does this say? What does mm-hmm. that say? You know, there's so much out there.
That's a big option. And the Seeing AI is one that I've been playing with in Soundscape, yes. I guess, is its counterpart.
Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, in the past when I taught classes, I always wanted to, when I was up at Mason, I always wanted to give them the newest and best apps. And so back then it would go the 5 best apps for blind individuals for 2015. So my last... it's like the 26 best apps for blind or vision impaired for 2021. I mean, it's the numbers are just going. You can't restrict the 5 best because there's 20 that are really good.
Oh, that's good news.
It is good news. Yeah. Yeah, it's exciting.
And the other thing I find interesting, Peggy, is how I guess everybody's building in to their products universally available things like the Apple folks have done VoiceOver. I don't remember the name of the one that is on the Android product.
TalkBack, I think it is.
TalkBack. I think that one is coming along. So just out of the box, these things are talking to us. And I know the Microsoft people are coming on with Narrator and making it so you can set up your own computer out of the box. It'll start talking to you. So they're really starting to think about this process. So this next generation of young people that are having vision impairment issues will have more options, I think, than those of us that have been around this for a while.
Yeah, I think that's true. The mainstream products are building in accessibility. One of the projects I had my students do at Mason was compare a third-party application program like JAWS or ZoomText with built-ins. And that would have been Narrator and Magnifier on a Windows-based system and VoiceOver and I forget what Apple calls their Magnifier. And I had them compare the two. And while, you know, you've got bells and whistles with the third party, for sure you do. But some of those built-ins were a very, very appropriate and reasonable alternative for people who need support, maybe heavy support, but maybe not be complete loss of vision. But it's getting there. It's getting better than it was. So I think these huge companies are hearing people when they're saying you have to make it accessible, you have to help. And they're, you know, I think they're trying.
Yeah, I think so. So Peggy, what do you think is in front of us? What do you think is down the road right now?
Well, people have asked me that, and I put a lot of thought to it. And I think my most honest answer and the most accurate answer is, I don't know. I mean, who really does know? Technology, it's coming so fast and furious that it's difficult to even predict, you know, what might be out there. I tell people, state your wildest dreams or your most outlandish thoughts. And guess what? I mean, somebody's probably working on it even as we're speaking. I will tell you, it was a miracle to us when printed material could be taken a picture of in some way, shape, or form with OCR, and the printed material is read. That was like a miracle. But we said it'll never happen with handwriting. Handwriting is too diverse. You know, there are X number of fonts in the written English language, and you can program those. But handwriting, did you ever see a doctor's handwriting? Yeah. It's just too diverse. There are a number of very well-reviewed handwriting recognition programs out there. I haven't tried them yet, and I really do need to test them very stringently. But even 5 years ago, I would have said, no, you'll never get the handwriting. Oh, no, now they are. So who's to say, you know?
So whatever you can imagine is what you may be able to see.
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
That
is a good way to put it.
The way I think of it is it's taking the promise of technology and turning it into the reality of jobs or a better life.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way, but that is a very, very good way to think of that. And it helps drive you forward.
Peggy, thank you so much for taking the time to walk through some of the places where we've been and some of the things that are out there right now and where we might be going in the future. I really appreciate the conversation.
I am more than happy to do it. Anytime you have any questions, I'd be glad to help if I can answer them.
Okay. Thanks, Peggy. Thank you for listening in today on The Blind Experience with Dr. Joe Ashley. I hope you found some information that was useful to you, and we look forward to having you back again for the next episode.